Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Cephas was a really interesting guy to me. I think he came out of Wisconsin, and he did not run well at all. But when he got an opportunity, he actually made catches, and he moved better on the field than he did in a 40 time. Clearly, they've decided they want to go big. I don't know what that means, Brownie, as far as the style of offense. I'm really curious what that means. I mean, he had big physical receivers at LSU. I mean, he had Jefferson. You know, he had Chase, who's very physical. He just may like those kinds of receivers. And, you know, the other interesting thing is, last year, what did we see a lot of when Joe Brady took over? A lot of quick game, short throws, right? And big receivers, they make those catches, and there's a physicality that's required in those kinds of throws.
Greg Cosell with One Bills Live with Chris Brown, Steve Tasker, talking about Quintez Cephas, who joins the Bills receiver corps. They went on to talk about Keon Coleman, and I think hearing Greg Cosell yesterday talk about that, it's exactly, whatever, I think he's exactly right. It's curious. I am curious on what this version of the Bills looks like. It's something I said a bunch of times yesterday to you, Joe, which is that we are entering a different era for these Bills. The Joe Brady offense is a big-time left turn from the Dable-Dorsey offenses. At least it sure seems that way when looking at skill set. And maybe that started with Kincaid. If Kincaid's not here, we feel horrible right now, right? Like, Kincaid is a bit of he's a bit of a lifeline, that he can be a dynamic number one tight end. Dawson Knox has kind of faded in our minds, even though he's on the team and going to be a contributor. Without Kincaid, I feel like people would be in a much, much worse spot in the ways they feel about this offense. But, like, the Brady offense down the stretch, the screen game, that's another part of it that's going to be interesting. You pointed out yesterday, and I'd like to get numbers on this. We'll have to, I don't know, do some work. I'll take a week off and find out the answer to this. You pointed out that watching a lot of Keon Coleman highlights, that there are a lot of screens.
Yeah.
It's a lot of behind the line of scrimmage stuff. And I remember Sammy Watkins doing that a lot, right? One of the knocks on Watkins when the Bills took Watkins was 52% of his catches were within a yard of the line of scrimmage or behind it.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, well, he's in the screen game in Clemson, but that doesn't mean he can't do more. And thinking about Coleman for the screen game, 26% of his catches were contested. I would bet that none of the screens were.
I can't imagine they would have been.
So take out all the screens.
Yeah.
What percentage of his downfield catches were contested? It's a guy that, you know, one of his strengths is catching through traffic. Not everybody's going to be good at catching through traffic, but of course, not everyone's going to have to catch through traffic. So it is very interesting to see the size, what they're doing at the position to try and get bigger, to use the middle of the field here. And Samuel is their speed guy, their stretch guy, their whatever, their flex guy.
Yeah. He reception perception has those numbers on percentage of routes you run. Screens they have for Coleman at 8.6%.
Okay.
Which might not sound like a lot. It's more than Worthy. Worthy was at 7.
Yeah.
So I'll look at others. He might have been one of the higher guys in the class on that, but 8.6% was that. So, no, right, like, there were not many targets where he's just running open. He is bothered by, and this was a point I think I saw Eric Turner from Cover One make. Not all contested catches are just 50-50 balls down the field. Like, there are a lot of his catches where he's running a slant, and it's 3rd and 5, and the defense knows that it's going right to the sticks, and the linebacker is collapsing on him while the corner's right behind him, and it's a 6-yard slant, and he just catches the ball. And it's not like you going up and making a circus catch. It's that's a contested catch, yeah, too, which is just you're in traffic, middle of the field, and you're able to come down with it. Yeah. And those are catches that you said this earlier. I think you're right that, like, we didn't spend a lot of time last year like, oh, look at the drop problems on this team, but they didn't have many guys that were great at that, except for Kincaid. Kincaid is someone, right, that would just catch everything that came his way.
Yep.
But, like, is Gabe Davis catching that route consistently, slant over the middle on 3rd and 5, and there's traffic? Because it didn't feel like that's something that was he was necessarily great at.
Yeah, it feels like the only time I can remember the Bills throwing him that route is when they did it in the end zone. He had, you know, slants on touchdowns quite a bit. 803-0550, like a little RPO. Maybe the RPO game is a big part of what they're going to do here.
What is funny, too, is was there anything in Brady's background that would have made you think this was the offense they were gunning for? Because at LSU, he's young, and it's only 1 year, but it is, and it's college, right? And the greatest roster ever.
And he's not the offensive coordinator, he's the passing game coordinator.
Right, but he is calling plays. So he's the passing game coordinator, right, but not the offensive coordinator. So is he designing it, or is he just calling plays? I don't know. But that's Joe Burrow throwing the ball to Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase,
like
all over the field. Then he gets to Carolina, and even though Teddy Bridgewater is his quarterback, look at the numbers for his pass catchers on that offense. He had three wide receivers, two of which were guys that got open down the field. Robbie Anderson was just a burner. And they had three guys that had career years on that offense with Bridgewater at quarterback. Like, the limited amount of time we've gotten to see Joe Brady in football, it's built through who his wide receivers are. Then he got here, and it felt like they just don't care about the position.
Or they want it different than it has been, right? Because this is a different group. I mean, they brought in Samuel, Mac Hollins. Again, like, we're just... It comes down to Coleman and Kincaid. I mean, Kincaid has to be included there, too. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 on the Bills and what they might look like. Lindy Ruff coming up at 8 o'clock. We'll talk with the Sabres head coach about his plans for the offseason and gearing up for, you know, hockey season, which starts in months, many, many months. NFL schedule coming out soon, too, by the way. I was talking about, we had Sal on yesterday, and he kind of guessed maybe as early as the 9th. Which is soon.
Which would be
next week.
A week from Thursday?
Next Thursday.
Yeah.
We could start to get some of the info on the schedule, and I've got some thoughts on that. A road trip. You ready for a road trip?
Seattle?
Yeah, let's go to Seattle.
I'm into that. Vancouver? Not too far away, right?
Not too far.
Drivable?
Sure. Lots. I mean, in that there's land between them, yes. No, it's not that far.
Yeah,
it's not that far. Seattle to Alaska.
It's a doable trip. To Alaska, yeah. I think everything's like...
Yeah, from like Seattle to Alaska takes days to drive.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe. I think I understood that finally once I realized that... Where's Dylan Cousins from? Whitehorse?
Yeah.
Whitehorse is like closer... Or Vancouver is closer to Mexico than it is to where Dylan Cousins is from. Canada's huge.
Seattle,
Alaska's at the top of it.
Seattle to Anchorage is a 41-hour drive.
That's insane.
Seattle to Anchorage.
That's insane.
41 hours.
It's insane.
There's a lot of land up there.
Yeah.
803-0550. Let's go to Seattle and not drive to Anchorage. Jimmy in Miami is next up. Hey, Jimmy, good morning.
Hey guys, good morning. To me, it seems like, I don't know, it seems like a bit of arrogance with Bean and McDermott. It's like they think they have the answers to the test. You know, like they're the smartest guys in the room. And this is the way we're going to do things now. Dwayne McDermott, he made that comment the other day about the corduroy jeans. Like, you don't want to be wearing something like, you don't want to be wearing corduroy jeans when they're out of style. When everybody, you know, when you don't want to, you want to put them on when the trend is coming. And this is what you want to do. So, but you know, the trend in the NFL now is receivers. Of course, you have to have the quarterback, and we have that guy. That's half the battle. Then you have to have the receivers that can get separation, a receiver at least one with some speed, so you can get separation and you can give your quarterback those weapons. And I don't know, like for instance, with Kansas City. Now, I know everybody's upset about Worthy, but the thing is, Kansas City's they have Hollywood Brown. They have Rasheed Rice. They have the best pass-catching tight end in football. But they needed that speed guy on the boundary. They needed that guy that's going to make defensive coordinators lose sleep at night. Now, Worthy is probably going to be more like a gadget guy, but they'll put him out there on the boundary. They'll stack the receivers. They'll protect him so he's not going to get bumped at the line. I know he's slight. He only weighs about 165, but the guy can fly. So they'll get him in a situation where he's not going to get, you know, mauled at the line. And he's going to get open, and he's going to score some touchdowns. The thing is, I mean, when you see the way a team like that does it, or you know, Cincinnati with their receivers, now Houston's going to be a headache. Of course, Detroit, San Francisco, you'd go right down the line. But Dean and McDermott think, well, this is the way we're going to do it. But then, Joe, you made the comment yesterday, I think it was. I think they figure this season, this is what we're going to do. And if it doesn't work out, well, you know, next year we're going to have more money. And then we'll see what we can do. Maybe we'll get a free agent that'll come up and we can spend some money on him. Or then we'll get our receiver. But we're just wasting Josh Allen's time here. Now he's going into his seventh year. And I don't know, a caller called in earlier. Does Josh Allen finally get fed up? I mean, I think he's locked up till 2027. I mean, does he eventually say, hey, you know, I think it's time for me to look somewhere else where I can win a trophy?
Yeah. Jimmy, I don't have any real fear of that.
Me neither.
And
none.
That's, you know, for better or for worse. You might want your quarterback to be like that a little bit. Maybe not. You know, each person's got their own taste here. In this case, they got him Kincaid and Coleman, two players he wanted.
Right.
Like, they're getting him the players he wants. So I have almost no real fear about Allen being, it's time for me to get out of there at all. The thing about the corduroy, like, you know, you say that a certain way about they think they're smarter than everybody in the room. The reality is that a lot of us sit here and talk about this team like we're smarter than everybody in the room, too. Like, everybody's got their opinion of what the team should do. And if they don't do exactly what you want, I mean, I feel this. It's, why aren't you doing it this way? I think this is a better plan. But McDermott's conversation or his point about the corduroy was about fashion trends, and you want to be ahead of fashion trends. You want to be ahead of football trends. And I think there's a lot to be made there about how that's a smart way to look at it. However, sometimes you might try to get out in front of a trend and then just miss. Hey, I started wearing corduroy. I thought it was going to catch on. Nobody wore it. I was just out there by myself and nothing came of it. But the general point about staying ahead of trends is a good one. I'm going to read you something I got yesterday from on Twitter from Michael. Someone just wrote in. Michael said, you know, not sure if this has been covered on the show. This is about trends. In the last 25 years, only four teams have won the Super Bowl with a top five receiver in yards. The Rams, Giants, Packers, and Indianapolis. That's only 16% of the Super Bowl winners have a top five receiver in yards. Bean may be smarter than we give him credit for on the importance of superstar receiver versus importance of overall number of weapons. And I just don't buy any of that. Ideally, what do the Bills want? They would love Keon Coleman to become the best receiver in football, period.
Like, right.
You could say when you don't have a guy like that, that it's better to have a diversification, But the reality is that you want Dalton Kincaid to become the best tight end in football and Keon Coleman to be the best receiver in football, and you love Curtis Samuel to be the best signing of the offseason. You don't want to be committee all the way. You want to be great, however that is. If you're great by committee, if you're great by single stud out on the boundary, then that's fine too. And on this point about trends, Joe, so how many times did we hear in the last 5 years, you know, quarterbacks don't win Super Bowls on their second contracts? You got to strike on that rookie contract, because when a guy, Russell Wilson, won it and then he hit on the big contract and they didn't win again, and the cap situation becomes so difficult. And then what happened? Mahomes won a bunch, and he's going to keep winning a bunch. And if Allen ever wins, it won't be on his rookie contract. And Burrow and Trevor Lawrence is about to get a new deal. And on you go. This trend, this idea that you were going to have to hit quarterback on rookie contracts, that was destined to die. Now, maybe C.J. Stroud wins one on his rookie deal, and then he'll get big money, and you'll have 12 quarterbacks in the AFC on big money contracts. Mm-hmm. So that idea as a trend, to me, that was always going to die. And if you're ready for the next one that's going to die, number one receiver. Here's Michael writing in about how, you know, a lot of teams that have won don't have a guy like that. However you want to measure the number one receiver or the super big-time stud. I mean, Cooper Kupp's on that list, so is Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne. But look around the league. All these teams are investing heavily in the position. It's a reason that the franchise tag number has gone up. It's a reason that we had 7 first-round receivers taken. The position has been pushed further forward into how much it matters. Go through the AFC. How many teams have won without one of those guys? Mahomes.
Yeah.
So what do all the other teams do as a result of that? They don't look at Mahomes and the Chiefs and say, they've done it without it. They should, I think, properly look at it and say, well, I don't have that guy.
Right.
So what can I do to get my passing offense the closest to that one? And the answer is, give my quarterback the best possible weapons I can. In Jacksonville, what have they done? They signed Christian Kirk. They signed Gabe Davis, for better or for worse. They drafted Brian Thomas Jr.
They tried before that Calvin Ridley.
They did.
Yeah.
So Jacksonville's all in on that. What is Cincinnati doing? They're going to probably keep T. Higgins for one more year because they're going to keep it together, and then they will sign Chase and they'll add another one.
Yeah.
If you don't have Mahomes, you better do everything you can to get an offense like his. If you don't have Andy Reid, you better try to find other ways to make up those gaps. So if you're someone that points to number one receivers don't win Super Bowls, I would say, how about the teams that lose in the Super Bowl? The Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
The Niners. Keep going. Go all the way back. Brady won it. How did he win it? He had Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and Gronk. And if you think...
The Chiefs lost in the Super Bowl with Tyreek Hill, didn't they?
They also won one with Tyreek Hill.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, however you want to measure it, I don't think there's any trend about fading receivers. If the Bills are a little bit lacking at the position, I believe it's probably temporary. And again, they would love Keon Coleman to become the best receiver in football.
Mm-hmm. Is part of that point, though, they'd rather... If they could have one of two things, Coleman either becomes the best receiver in football or all of them are really good. Is that what they'd prefer? Coleman, if he's great, that'd be nice. That would help us even more. But if Coleman was great and Samuel didn't fit and the role wasn't working the way we wanted, or the other way around, Samuel did fit. He does everything that we thought he would, but Coleman's a complete and utter bust. Is that a better scenario to them than everybody kind of does their, what would they say, their 111th?
Well, I mean, the 111th point.
That's what they would say.
That's right.
But like would they rather, they've had Diggs for 2 years be kind of the only show in town to some degree. Like, I think you should want both.
Oh, for sure.
They should obviously want both, but if they can only have one, would they prefer, let's get 3 or 4 really good guys, and maybe we'll just cross our fingers and hope someone becomes great. We don't have to go all in for Roma Dunze or Brandon Ayuk, because if we have 4 really good ones, that'll be the equivalent of 1 great one.
It is funny, because that's ultimately what I think a lot of people have wanted. That's what I've wanted. That's why the currently in the roundhouse receiver train has been running for 3 years because it's been, you have Diggs, keep adding, get more.
All right.
Don't rely on Trent Sherfield.
And Jake Kumerow. Yeah.
Get more. You should be getting more. And it's so funny because Diggs got traded not that long ago. I was online looking at, I was looking for Khalil Shakir, some highlights, and I saw a video. Here's the video. The Bills must run through Shakir and Diggs. It was from January.
Right.
It should be Shakir and Diggs and add another X in the draft and let's go. And instead, they...
Right, the receiver train predated Diggs.
For sure. By years.
By years, right.
You're right. And whatever. I just feel like, yes, they know the position is important. They have not invested in it as much as they probably should have. Maybe they do in the future.
Yeah.
But I don't think anybody should land on, you don't need that spot. Another example of this is like DJ Chark is out there, and he's not very good. I would agree with anybody that says, whoever you bring in, Josh Allen, and Josh Allen's ability will probably elevate them. But that doesn't make them a different player. It just gets them better statistics. They look better. If you brought in, let's look at Mac Hollins. If Mac Hollins has the best year of his career here, that's not necessarily because Mac Hollins became a different player. It might be because of opportunity and Allen being really good. He can rip the ball down the field to Mac Hollins.
Mm-hmm.
That's any receiver going to the Chiefs. That's any receiver going to the Bills in the fantasy world. That's Ladd McConkey going to the Chargers.
Yeah.
They aren't a different person. They are just immediately elevated by someone that's with them that can bring out the best in them. That's, to me, that's different than you can get away with bad receivers. That means your quarterback is going to lift up receivers that are lacking.
Mm-hmm. I drafted Mac Hollins yesterday in the fantasy league.
I already had him in Dynasty. You want to trade for him in Dynasty? Mm. In the League of Show Ups and Dreams? No, wait. It's a different league I have him in.
That might not be.
Yeah, that's right. I'm over here just hanging on to Mac Hollins in another league.
I'm throwing late round flyers on him. Like, hey, last round of a 30 round draft or whatever. If Coleman stinks, I mean, Mac Hollins is playing on the outside a lot.
Dennis and Cheektowaga. Good morning, Dennis. Dennis, hello.
I'm here.
Hey, go ahead, man.
I just wanted to make a quick comment or vent or something. I've heard a bunch of calls the last 2 days, really. Well, it's Tuesday, yeah. Last 2 days about people who are upset about Bean or McDermott thinking they're smarter than everybody else, when I just kind of find that ironic because it seems like the people who are saying this are people who don't have millions of dollars, you know, invested in scouting and all of this research. It's people who've listened to like national media or did a couple of Google searches, read a Pro Football Focus, and then decided that, you know, our Buffalo execs don't know what they're doing. So just a little vent for me. Want to put that out there. Sorry. I guess I'd like to hear your thoughts on it.
Yeah, no, that's okay. In the case of, it's funny, it depends who you ask. I saw yesterday that the Bills in the Super Bowl odds are 7th.
Okay. Weren't they 4th at one point?
Let me double check. Maybe it depends on which book you're looking at. But John Scott tweeted it out yesterday that the Bills, I'll find it exactly, that they're still thought of highly.
Yeah, okay. I've got them. Well, I see them 5th.
Okay, 5th.
Tied for 4th with Detroit is where I'm looking.
Okay.
That's at DraftKings. 4th, or tied for 4th.
There's a point to be made about that.
Mm-hmm.
How much of that is getting the Josh Allen pick right? I said to you a minute ago that people are optimistic about this offense, but Kincaid is very important in that. That, you know, you have a potentially elite player in the passing game for Allen to throw to, and we know you have an elite quarterback. How much does Allen carry the rest of it? Like, really carry the rest of it? Their offense outside of Allen the last couple of years has been Allen to Diggs.
And him running. Right. Last year,
the offense struggled out of the gate. And
because he wasn't running.
Because he wasn't running. And there was a groundswell of whatever. Let him run. And then he started running more and unlock some things. I mean, it's not to your point, Dennis. Your point's about, like, you know, the professionals know more than the amateurs.
Which, I mean, to be fair, like you mentioned Pro Football Focus, that's also a million-dollar entity that's spending millions of dollars on scouting every year.
And
they're just doing it in the public instead of the private.
Well, they're doing both because Pro Football Focus has contracts with every NFL team.
Oh, right.
Teams yeah. pay Pro Football Focus for a lot of their information.
Yeah.
Proprietary stuff. And
so yeah,
I'm not here to tell you I know any more than Sean McDermott or Brandon Bean. I certainly don't. I might think I might know more how to draft than Dave Gettleman, who had a job. I mean, some of these GMs do.
Or whoever's been running the Raiders for the last 30 years.
Yeah, I mean, some of the people that get that high they're not good at it.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing I'm having a little trouble with right now is that, like, I don't want to think I know more than Bean, but a lot of the people that analyze the sport that I trust, who you want to make it about money, like Mina Kimes makes millions of dollars a year. So does Pro Football Focus as a single entity. So whatever, that part to me doesn't even matter. But the people I trust, like the Mina Kimes of the world and Matt Harmon's and the guys at PFF, like everyone on that front on Coleman is in agreement. Like this guy can be good if he's in the slot. And Bean went up to the podium and said he's going to play the X. So I've got the Bills over here saying, from their scouting, okay, this is what he's going to do for us. He's going to play on the outside. He's going to play the X where Gabe Davis did. And then all the people that I read a lot of and listen to that get stuff right a lot and are very smart in the industry are all like, look at this profile. Look at this tape. Look at these numbers. This guy is going to be a big slot. And I've got those two entities against each other right now. And I'm inclined to want to believe all of the noise of, like, good luck, Bills. Maybe you can turn him into something more, but that's treacherous. It might be tough for him to go out there and succeed the way you're asking him to.
Right. That's where they have to unlock things. That's Greg Cosell. There are things to unlock still. 803-0550. 1-888-552-550. Thanks for the calls, Jimmy, Dennis. Lindy Ruff at 8 o'clock. Cruising through a Tuesday on WGR.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And that quickness, there's a suddenness at his size that he will be able to, over time, become a really intriguing weapon with how you can use him by getting the ball in different ways. Him on a slant pattern, if he gets a little head of steam and defender takes the wrong angle, like, he can house it. You go back, watch LSU game. He did that very early on in that contest, and you're like, yep, that's what you thought you were getting, Keon Coleman. So that skill set for sure exists.
Brennan Zanone, who was on the Extra Point Show yesterday on Keon Coleman, Bill's newest wide receiver. Second-round pick. The Bills have at their website 24 hours with Keon Coleman, his first, like, day here.
Yeah.
They might be in the works. They should consider his own show.
Yeah.
He's the next character on this team. People are just going to want to eat up everything.
He'll have to be good, though.
Yes, that's right.
For that to work, you've got to be good. Like, Trey White, Deion Dawkins, these guys that everyone fell in love with, they were good. Elam also has a personality, and you don't see it as often because... He's bad.
McKenzie
did. Yeah. Yeah. Coleman now. Who else? Is that it?
Yeah, I'm sure they all. I mean, there's lots of different types of personalities.
Yeah. Yeah.
803-0550 to your calls in a moment. The Tampa Bay Lightning got eliminated last night by the Panthers. And watching the end of that game, it was a bit of a goodbye, it sounded like, to Steven Stamkos on the broadcast talking about it could be the last time he wears a Bolts jersey. And it struck me because it was mentioned that he's finishing up an 8-year contract.
Yeah, that's the one Stamkos watch
and
way back when.
Immediately I thought, that was 8 years ago?
He was on the cover of the hockey news.
We were
in all the jerseys, and like the Sabres were one of them.
We were thinking about Steven Stamkos coming to the Sabres 8 years ago.
I remember where I was when Pierre Maguire first said, like, I think he could go to Buffalo.
He didn't.
No, he definitely
didn't. He stayed
in
Tampa. And now there's a little bit of a hubbub. I don't know. I saw Brayton Wilson of WGR and WBEN tweeting about the idea of Stamkos. You've brought up the idea of Stamkos.
Always under the skies of let's get stupid, though, I feel.
Because there's no way Steven Stamkos is going to sign here.
No, I think it was the last time we talked about this that I said, I'm not even sure this would get him. You have to give him like 5% of the team.
He's 34. He did just have a great year.
I mean, he's exactly what they need, right? Like, go offer him the most money in the league, right? He is your, I think the last time we talked about it, I mentioned, like, who's your Drury trade? Tim Connolly went on a podcast and talked about how different it all got when Drury got there. But Drury backed it up on the ice, and the Sabres haven't had someone like that behind the scenes that also carries it through to his play on the ice, maybe since Drury. And Stamkos is every bit of that. But you're not getting him here.
No.
There's no earthly chance. Like, you can want him all you want. You're not getting him here.
They can, I don't know who the name is, but they can acquire the Drury trade, maybe not to the level of that player, but someone that has won that can help them change internally without it costing $11 million a year. Aren't they going to want to do that with like a third line winger instead?
But that doesn't, that's right back where you always are.
No, it's a third line winger that can play and has won in the league and has a name. I mean, I don't want to say is like the Lindy Ruff of third wingers, but someone that people know, and when he walks in that room, commands respect. Not just a guy that's hanging on because he's been in the organization for 10 years.
Right.
Like the guys that they had done that with.
Well, what about Dallas played last night? Is Joe Pavelski just as fanciful an idea?
Sure, sure.
He's older. He's 40, but he just scored 27 goals and had 67 points. So you want to sign him for 2 years at 8?
I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, but Stamkos seems to me to be a ridiculous idea.
By the way,
to entertain at least.
Tampa getting throttled in the first round by Florida. Washington proving to everybody that didn't know it already, they had zero business being in the postseason. The Islanders getting smacked around by Carolina. We'll see if they end up losing tonight in 5. The East, just come on, Sabres. It is right there for you. This conference stinks. It's top heavy. There are great teams at the top, but look at these teams in the playoffs. Islanders are not good. The Capitals were legitimately bad. The Lightning, nowhere near what they used to be. Detroit wasn't legit good. Pittsburgh's old. Philly wasn't legit good. Like, maybe New Jersey actually is good, but they had the goalie injuries, and we talked about that when they hired Lindy. But, man, look at this conference. Like, how in the world have they not overtaken, like, four of these teams?
Can they pass Tampa next year?
They should pass the Islanders, Capitals, and Lightning next year. Yes, they should.
803-0550. Jim on a cell. Hey, Jim.
Good morning, fellas. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks, Jim.
Good. In the lead up to the draft, I heard a bunch of different callers, like Judy from Buffalo, her name pops in, where, you know, they were calling and saying that, you know, okay, the Bills shouldn't draft a wide receiver. They should draft a Bishop in the first round or a safety in the first round, and that, you know, defense wins championships. Are these the same people that are now, you know, throwing us under the bus because, you know, we drafted Coleman and we only grabbed one wide receiver? Because it seems like, you know, it doesn't matter what the Bills did, they just wanted something to gripe about. And, you know, following up on that, I mean, I was on board the wide receiver train for years as well. And I, you know, my only disappointment is that we didn't grab two wide receivers early. I mean, you know, even if we had grabbed Worthy, I would have still wanted another wide receiver, because unless we're getting one of those big three, you know, you need more darts to make sure you can spread it around a little bit more in case one doesn't pan out. So that was the big part of it for me. It just feels like after the draft now, all I'm hearing about is, you know, they're destroying Allen's career. They're destroying Bills. When it seems like, you know, they may have somewhat of a plan, even if it's not obvious to us peons. I mean, I'm only an architect. I'm not a GM.
That's kind of adjacent, is it not? I mean, Brandon Bean is the architect of the Bills. I feel like you're closer to GM than a lot of other, you know, potential occupations.
I'm going to have to put that in my business.
There you go.
I like that.
Thanks, Jim.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks for the phone call. Listen, like, we all like to play GM, right? That's what this is. We do a lot more of, I think, a lot more of talking like GMs than talking like coaches. Sometimes we talk about play calling during the season. But, you know, on the idea of being a GM, the question is, are they doing what they need to maximize Allen? And there are two different ways to do that. Let's be real about that. One of those is win. If you win the Super Bowl the way the Chiefs just did, which is a stud defense, the Chiefs won this year because of their defense. And Mahomes lifted an offense that was the worst Chiefs offense of the last 4 years. Still good, but last year the Chiefs did not exactly surround Mahomes with the best skill players and the best offense that they'd had.
They
won it anyway.
They broke some record, I don't know off the top of my head, but it was like a historically good defensive run where they, to Miami, the Bills, the Ravens, and the 49ers, like something, I don't remember again the exact stat, but what they did to four of the top offenses in football had like never been done before. Like, it was an all-time great defense.
And they won. So if that had happened for the Bills, that would have been maximizing Josh Allen's career because they won a Super Bowl, and that's really where we live.
That's all we care about.
You got to win one, because he's good enough that if you don't, we're all going to feel like they failed him. So there are two ways to do it, and that's build however you want and win, or give him everything you possibly can and try to win that way. And I think there are a lot of people that want to win that second way. I'm one of those. Everything you can for him. Build it all around him. As many good young receivers as possible. I don't want to be sitting here talking about how he can lift somebody up. I want someone to lift him up. And maybe they think that Keon Coleman is someone that's going to do that and bail him out, and whether it's 50-50 balls or tall ball and the big frame and the yards after catch. I mean, they're talking about being a yards after catch offense. This is one spot where I'll say it till I'm blue in the face. You can be a yak offense or you can be a downfield passing offense, and if it's 50 yards on a throw that's a 50-yard throw or 50 yards on a 5-yard slant that runs for 45, it's 50 yards the same way. Like, you don't get more points for how you get there. It's what do you have to do to get this big gain. And the Bills are leaning more towards yards after catch. It's something that they've talked about wanting, and they probably want going forward, and there's reason to think that that is a good idea. Is it the best way to maximize Josh Allen? If he throws a million screen passes and they pick up all these yards, mm-hmm. does that feel like a Josh Allen offense? At the end of the day, if it wins, we'll get over it. And so will he.
It is kind of how Mahomes' offenses have been.
Yes,
right?
He's a
lot of
he's
screens.
A very, very low depth of target, and yep. it came down last year lower than it had ever been.
Yeah. So I'm willing to see what that looks like. I mean, I'd like – what do you really want, though? You want them to have both. They've never had the yak with the guys that get open all the time.
Well, that's, I think, because Josh Allen throws the ball way down the field.
He does.
When he throws to Gabe Davis, there's not a lot of opportunity for yards after
catch. But
they
didn't even really have many of like the designed yak plays, if you will. Like, they didn't even have many guys to run that through. Like, McKenzie was always that guy.
That's right.
And he's like a fifth receiver when they're at their best.
I think it's a function of the way the offense was run. I think it's a function of the receivers. And I also think it's a function of the throws that the quarterback chooses.
Yep. But if you had, I know you're not going to have Diggs in your prime with this, but it felt like they were right there. If you have Diggs, like what I really wanted for this offense, I felt like they were closing in on it, which was having a little bit of both. You had, for a time, Diggs was traded this month, by the way. It was not that long ago. This month, he was traded.
It's been a long month.
Yeah. But you had Diggs on your team for a few weeks with Curtis Samuel and Khalil Shakir and James Cook, who can satisfy, okay, look at this. Now I've got guys that can run screens through. I can run the yak plays through that are kind of almost quasi-run plays that are more short passing. And now if I go add one other receiver that gets open all the time, like, look where I'm at. Now I've got Diggs. I've got a guy that's going to play where Davis usually played, but now he's going to get open more often. And I've got my yak guys that can do that stuff too. Like, I feel like they were right there. They were one pick away from having the perfect marriage of we can do it all. And they tore that down to build it back up in a different light.
Yeah. And maybe more so next year with a lot of cap space and, you know, one first, 2 seconds. 803-0550. Lindy Ruff, top of the hour, coming up here on WGR.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
My commitment to never watching anything with Tom Brady is really going to be tested, Joe.
This roast?
Yeah. The roasters have been named.
Isn't Belichick one of them?
Yeah. It's Edelman,
yeah.
Gronk, Bledsoe, Randy Moss, and Belichick.
Oh, wait. They're all former Patriots? I thought they were going to be like some comedians or something up there.
Kevin Hart's going to host.
Okay.
But teammates, yeah. Teammate. Belichick? Come on. I need somebody to do a Belichick stand-up bit.
Did you see any clips of him on with Pat McAfee during the draft?
He's good.
He was good.
He's really good.
He also was like, dare I say, like energized, energetic.
Yeah.
Like inflection in his voice that I had never heard in my life before. He told like a 2-minute story about how they traded for Randy Moss, and he's like imitating Randy Moss as he's talking. Who is this person? Is he doing? He's doing a show for us right now.
Yeah.
He was good.
I don't know if I can bring myself to watch it. May 5th, 8 p.m., the greatest roast of all time. That's yeah, offensive on its own.
Exactly what I want to be doing on Cinco de Mayo is watching Tom Brady content.
Hmm. Mark in South Florida is up next. Hey, Mark, good morning.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good.
Just dust is settling now after the weekend draft. Just, you know, talked about trends a little bit and trying to get out in front of them. You know, someone told me the other day it's sort of when the Miami Heat went to, like, that positionless basketball. And it seems like, you know, that's what we're trying to do with our receiving corps, have a bunch of guys that they can move around and try to confuse defenses. And also, you know, they got a little talent. Coleman, saw him play a lot down here in the ACC. He's definitely a baller. He reminds me a little bit of Eric Moulds, maybe a little bit before your time. But and then final thing is, what's the chance that seventh-round pick makes the team? Because I could see us using him as the snowplow and maybe a little tight end work. So love the show. Like to hear what you think about my comments.
Yeah,
so,
thanks, Mark.
Great day, guys.
The snowplow. Yeah, no more Gabe Davis on the snowplow. Tush push.
All right.
And that job's open. Is Keon Coleman doing it? He's big.
I think so.
But that seventh-round pick, maybe.
The rugby guy?
Yeah.
There's, like, special rules with him. They get, like, an exemption.
They get an extra practice squad spot.
Gotcha. I bet that's probably likely, then, for him. 6'7 runs, like, a 4'7, by the way. Like, 6'7, 330, or whatever he is.
Yeah. I like that.
Someone's going to have to push Allen. Yeah.
Travis Clayton. Already thinking about the tush push. Hand him the ball.
Think of him like a
Seriously,
running back.
Let's be real about this. Why haven't we had these guys take direct snaps? Travis Clayton,
yeah.
Under center. Let's go.
Real quick, by the way, he's not like a rugby star, by the way. Like, Christian Wade was like a great player in like the top rugby league in the UK. Travis Clayton played in the eighth tier of their rugby leagues. Not to say he's not.
Go ahead.
Not bad, but
you go ahead and count him out.
He played for like.
You go ahead and tell me he's a zero star recruit. Go ahead.
He played for like his hometown club team.
You go ahead and doubt Travis Clayton to your own peril.
When he scores 5 touchdowns next
That's
year.
That's right. I'm picking him up in fantasy. Got to make sure we get a roster exemption there for a guard. Lindy Ruff, next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.